Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Mark Michalik, representing Christopher Bell. May it please the Court. Mr. Bell was on trial for allegedly delivering 5.69 grams of crack in a controlled front. During its rebuttal case, the government introduced testimony that Mr. Bell was in possession of 5 kilograms of cocaine and that he had solicited a gentleman named Reggie Booker to cook that 5 kilograms of cocaine into crack. Because of the government's rebuttal case, I don't think that the Court can have confidence in the jury's verdict. What otherwise would have been a swearing contest between the government's star witness, Brian DiRenzo, and Mr. Bell changed tone entirely due to the 5 kilograms of cocaine evidence that came in rebuttal.
Not entirely, though. Wasn't there a videotape, and wasn't there some audio tape?
Well, Your Honor, there was videotape of Mr. Bell and Mr. DiRenzo.
And circumstantial evidence about the searching of the, Lorenzo, and him going off to do the deals and so forth and coming back with dope and all that.
There are those things, Your Honor, but...
Yeah, those are pretty big things.
Well...
makes it a little more than a swearing contest.
It does make it a little more than that, but there were a lot of, you know, there was no one else directly witnessed any kind of transaction between Mr. DiRenzo and Mr. Bell. During the audio tape, there's no talk about drugs specifically. There's best dope in the Midwest.
Best dope in the Midwest. My name is the test, and so forth. The bragging by your client.
Well, his explanation was that he was giving some diet pills to Mr. DiRenzo. These guys are former, you know, these guys are both former drug dealers.
Right.
It must have seemed to them, and there, you know, Mr. Bell was laughing during the time.
And
you know,
his explanation
I could easily see
was
it.
That he was a sort of a grandfather, kindly grandfatherly soul who would go down to the work release area and befriend people, loan them money, and so forth. And the rebuttal evidence really cut right at the heart of that, I think.
Well, that's what the government said, Your Honor. But I think it more went to show that, you know, for the government to try to show that Mr. Bell was a drug dealer and that it was in his character to do this type of thing. I don't think Mr. Bell had put on a character defense. I think that he had witnesses to testify that he'd loaned people money. He had witnesses to testify that he'd had a weight problem and was doing workouts to try to remedy that. And
were you
have.
The trial counsel?
I'm sorry?
Were you the trial counsel?
No, Your Honor, I was not the trial counsel.
Aren't you the lucky one?
I'll be pleased to try the case if the court does remand for a new trial. Mr. Bell was not charged with a conspiracy. He was charged with making a controlled front. There was no marked bills or anything like that. There was no payment allegedly at the time. And we're talking about less than 6 grams of crack, which, Your Honors, I could have 6 grams of crack on me right now, and you wouldn't be able to tell that. I certainly don't, of course, but as opposed to 5 kilograms of crack.
Marshal will search you on the way out.
Very well, Your Honor. I'll agree to submit to that search based on that comment, which I probably shouldn't have made. But a jury is going to know, any reasonable jury is going to know that a kilogram of any drug is a big deal. And 5 kilograms, you know, 10.5 pounds, is not a small amount. DiRenzo was a gangster disciple. Mr. Bell had cooperated his way out of a life sentence by getting many gangster disciples convicted in the district court where he was on trial. Mr. DiRenzo was the one who reached out to the agents and said, hey, I can get some crack from Chris Bell. Part of his defense wasn't just, oh, you know, I'm loaning guys money and this is all a big misunderstanding. It's that DiRenzo's doing this on purpose because he wants revenge. It wasn't particularly well developed in the testimony, but there was testimony that there was a hit out on Mr. Bell. He's currently in protective custody in California prison. The government's rebuttal that the 5 kilograms of cocaine basically called on Mr. Bell to conduct a mini trial at the end of the case that he wasn't prepared to do. He's kind of in a double bind. He either sits there and tries to ignore the fact that a witness has come in and accused him of not only possession of a huge amount of drugs that wasn't part of the, you know, wasn't part of the trial, accused him of, you know, Mr. Booker was hoping that he was going to get $2,000 or $3,000 for each kilogram that he cooked into crack by expanding it and making it more worthwhile. Of course, he also conceded that he didn't really know if Mr. Bell had the 5 kilograms of crack. He agreed to do it, but then he kind of decided he wouldn't do it anymore. So the defense was left with only Mr. Bell to rebut this, and they had to call him in sur rebuttal. They really didn't have any other choice. But
And he got sur rebuttal, right?
He did get sur rebuttal, but I think it's more, and I guess what I'm afraid of is Your Honors will say, well, he got a chance to explain it, so it's not nearly as harmful. But I think that, in effect, what ended up happening is he ended up having to emphasize what had just happened. And the government tries to argue in its brief that, well, this is kind of a passing thing. I didn't hammer on 5 kilograms during my closing. And he did do a good job of kind of dancing around the issue while still emphasizing the I've got the best dope in the Midwest angle of his argument. But I think that would serve to remind the jury that there was this 5 kilograms of cocaine out there, which really had nothing to do with whether or not Mr. Bell delivered little less than 6 grams of crack on one particular occasion, which is what he was charged with, not with any kind of conspiracy. The district court, in its ruling that this went to Mr. Bell's credibility, seemed to think that the hydroxycut was kind of a code word for crack, that because Mr. Bell had sent a letter to Booker asking him to testify on his behalf, to say that, you know, he was using hydroxycut to try to lose weight, and that he was loaning people money in the halfway house. So the district court said, well, he's not just talking about hydroxycut in the letter, he's talking about cooking crack cocaine. And I don't understand how, first of all, that goes to his credibility directly, except to the extent that someone who's otherwise shown to be a drug dealer probably sold drugs or fronted drugs in the instance when he's charged, especially when we're not talking about a guy, you know, who, if you just look at the evidence during the direct, the government's direct, would be limited to a very small amount. But this is a guy who's really dangerous, really, you know, really a big drug dealer because he's got all these kilos and he's recruiting. The other thing, you know, I just don't see that the – well, I wanted to back up real quickly to the recording, which I could easily see as being, you know, humor between two guys that are drug dealers. It must have seemed kind of weird to them to be sitting in a Walmart parking lot and being, you know, exchanging money and hydroxycut pills. That's a perfect time to make a little joke, you know. And this isn't a case where, or this is the posture of this case, you know, this isn't about the sufficiency of the evidence in that the government gets every reasonable inference. It's about whether or not the evidence, you know, getting into a harmless error, is the evidence overwhelming? I think there's a reasonable explanation for what went on during the recording, the fact that DiRenzo came back with about a little less than 6 grams of crack, especially when the agents conceded during their testimony that they were in a hurry. They had only 5 minutes to search DiRenzo, search his car, give him a recording device, do all the things they needed to do to get ready for the controlled front, because in an unrecorded conversation, DiRenzo told them that the meat location had been changed from Janesville to down to the Walmart in Beloit. So I think it's certainly arguable that DiRenzo engineered this kind of thing to ensure that he wouldn't be searched as thoroughly. He was an experienced drug dealer, and he, in all likelihood, knew how these things worked. I see I'm in my rebuttal time, and I'll, if there's no more questions, sit down.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. Mr. Reinhardt.
Good morning. David Reinhardt for the United States. Reggie Booker's rebuttal testimony that the defendant solicited him to cook crack cocaine was rebuttal evidence. It wasn't 404B. It wasn't propensity. The evidence was introduced to contradict and impeach the evidence offered by the defendant in this case. Look, we would have never called Reggie Booker had the defendant and defense witnesses not testified the way they did. And specifically, Mr. Bell testified that he loaned DiRenzo $200 and diet pills instead of crack cocaine on the day in question. In support of that particular theory, the defendant introduced evidence that he routinely loaned money and assisted other individuals at the halfway house in the past, and that he acted in a similar manner on the day in question. And he further testified about his giving nature, how he assisted these individuals, really painting a picture of himself as this charitable person within the halfway house. And that just wasn't the case. That wasn't the full story. That wasn't a fair portrayal of what was going on at that halfway house. What the defendant essentially wants this court to do is to let his evidence go unchallenged on that aspect. And we countered this theory of defense by calling Reggie Booker, his roommate at that halfway house, who said, yeah, he loaned me things, but he was also soliciting me to crack cocaine at the same time. And specifically, he testified that the defendant would come to the halfway house after his release and bring him things in order to talk about dope transactions. So this was a proper rebuttal testimony. And while 5 kilograms is certainly larger than 5 grams, it was prejudicial, but it wasn't unfairly prejudicial given the fact that they opened the door and they really wanted to create an image of Mr. Booker that was not accurate, and credibility was important. We impeached his credibility on this point. And in any event, the 5 kilograms was mentioned once throughout this entire trial. And even if it was error for the district court, the error was harmless. As mentioned earlier, Brian DiRenzo testified that he bought crack cocaine directly from the defendant. You had law enforcement officers observe the defendant at the scene. You have a videotape of the defendant at the scene. And most importantly, you've got the audio recording of the actual transaction in which this defendant says, I've got the best dope in the Midwest, that I guarantee it, that my name is the test. When you look at that transcript, I think it's clear that this was a dope transaction which occurred at a parking lot at the Walmart where, in my experience, a lot of drug deals occur in some of these parking lots. And there was nothing...
Walmart particularly or just parking lots in general?
I wouldn't single out Walmart, but quite a few parking lots.
I was going to figure out what I had to avoid that sort of confrontation.
But there is nothing in that audio recording about diet pills, loaning money, $200, anything like that. If the court doesn't have any further questions, I'll sit down.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Anything further, Mr. Michalik?
If you go to, tell this story to people and you tell them the evidence as to the 6 grams of crack, and then you add in later, he might have had 5 kilograms of cocaine. That's the magic bullet. That's the thing that really would force somebody to conclude, well, he can't be telling the truth about not selling this this much smaller amount because he's got to be a drug dealer. If he's got 5 kilograms of cocaine, he's got to be a drug dealer. And that's propensity, and that's improper. And if you look at the way the government questioned Booker in the transcript, they were going right for the 5 kilograms of cocaine. They had a couple of questions, just normal foundation, and then they hit the 5 kilograms of cocaine and the solicitation to cook crack. That's what he was after, and that's why I won the trial.
Thank you very much, counsel. And Mr. Michalik, we appreciate your willingness to accept the appointment in this case and your assistance to the court as well as your client.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much. The case is